Yo.
Hi.
What are you doing?
I'm on Snapchat.
So you know what we're doing today?
We're talking about some vehicles that are not RC helicopter related.
So people might think we're stupid or crazy or we lost our minds.
That's fine. It's all good.
But you know what? I think some of the listeners might be entertained, get educated, learn a little bit about a completely different segment of our RC hobby, right?
Because you and I are supporters of the radio control community.
Yep, and these guys call themselves RCers, so RCers. Might as well do them some justice, shouldn't we?
Let's do it.
Let's get it going. Yeah.
Nice.
So, we have a special guest today.
We do. A very special guest indeed.
This guy's going to talk about the only part of the hobby that he truly loves.
That's it. It's his only aspect that he actually gives a crap about.
Yeah, correct. Welcome, Mr. James Van Hook. How you doing?
What's going on, guys?
Doing good. You know we have to give you shit. There's just no other way.
Yeah, unfortunately. But it is what it is.
But you're accustomed to it. It's all good with you. You enjoy it.
I have many years of dealing with it from you guys.
Mr. Van Hook, he is our car surface team manager for BK Servo. He manages all the surface drivers.
Yeah, and he was butthurt because we didn't mention his name the other day.
Right. Huh? Yeah. I don't know why.
It's all your fault, Kyle.
Oh, man. Here we go.
It's all your fault, Kyle.
Yep. I wrote the show notes and I forgot about the cars. So James sent me a very nasty text message.
But you know what? Cars are a significant part of the RC hobby, so I feel like we need to talk about cars.
Yeah.
Some of the listeners might not give a crap, but I think that people driving to and from work or doing whatever, I think they'll find this very instructive. I think there's a lot of cool, interesting stuff to talk about cars.
Yeah,
what do you think, James?
Yeah, I mean, they... look, I'm a helicopter guy, too. Obviously, and a lot of helicopter guys have cars too. So you know, maybe it'll help some helicopter guys out as well. Or if a car guy listens, maybe they'll get interested in helicopters and listen to the podcast more often.
I feel like cars are a really good like segue because like I've always had cars when I was really young, learning to fly, and like I would take it off jumps, and I had the T-Max and the E-Max, and it was like a good segue between helis and planes and you know stuff like that.
Would you agree, James?
It's fun. It's just something different.
All right, Mr. Van Hook, so for the people that don't know James has been on the SAB team for how long, James? 4 or 5 years now? 4 or 5?
About 5 years, I think.
And
it's been a while.
Yeah, BK Servo team, SAB team. I think you are still, or you have been on the OptiPower team. Yeah.
Yep, OptiPower and Castle Creations.
Yeah.
Both sponsors in my helicopter side.
So this show's not about helicopters, but just give us an idea. When did you start to when did you get into RC in general? Was it cars? Was it helis? Was it planes? What was it?
Well, it's kind of weird. I grew up doing this. My dad flew. And I really didn't. I had cars growing up, like toys. Yeah, or not toys, but really not race cars. And as I got old enough to drive and go to the track myself, I started racing cars first. And I raced for several years pretty competitively through high school. And then after high school, I started flying and quit cars. And took about a 10-year break and started racing again.
And so you've been racing like competition racing like RC cars since you were how old?
I think I started when I was 15 or 16, and I raced until I was, I guess, 20 or 21. So 4 or 5 years there racing, and then moved on to flying exclusively.
And then it was flying what, helis, airplanes? Or only
I flew
helis?
Both. Both. I've started with helicopters, but I've always flown airplanes as kind of a fun thing to do, and still do, you know, airplanes as well.
And then you picked cars back up. How long ago? Several years, at least, what, eight?
I think, like 3 or 4 years ago. It hadn't really been that long I've been back racing again.
Okay. Nice. So you're torn between cars and helis.
Yeah.
Which one's more
much.
Fun? Which one's more fun?
Which one's more fun?
They're that's both a very. Fun. I know that's an unfair question. I don't think there's such answer, but I have to ask it anyway. Different.
I
right?
don't. You're putting me on the spot. I do. I don't have an answer for that. I really don't. I enjoy both of them.
Well, they're different. You can't compare, right? It's like comparing. You know, it's the people that are. You know, I have a turbine RC jet. I can't say helis are more fun or jets are more fun. It's just different.
Yeah.
You know? Totally different deal.
Yeah, the car aspect, I mean, I don't just have cars to play with cars. I race, and it's because it's the competitive aspect to it. And to me, that's what makes it fun. And I think when I started flying helicopters, I had kind of a mentor that caught me pretty early on in flying. And he told me, like, hey, you know, you should try being a really good helicopter pilot and maybe competing at the time XFC or something like that. And that was kind of my goal. But as those events have kind of disappeared, you know, there's no competitive side to it other than flying harder or lower than your buddy.
Who's the mentor?
His name's George Hicks. He was a Horizon team pilot, flew airplanes. He got me into flying iMac. I had a couple.
Yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah, I had a couple, you know, 50cc and third scale planes, and started flying iMac a little bit while I was flying helicopters, and then he started flying helicopters and not as much iMac, and then he disappeared.
Very good pilot.
Yeah, he's super big into precision aerobatics,
yeah.
and that was fun. That was that's kind of what drove me. And helicopters and airplanes.
So, James, there's something that I don't quite understand about cars, and help me understand this or how it works. But with a heli, you can just throw it in your back seat, and then when you leave work, you can pull over to a baseball field and go fly it. But if you throw, like, an RC car in the back of your car, and then you pull over to just a parking lot, like, I feel like you'd get bored within, like, 2 minutes unless you had jumps or other people or, like... How does it work if you just want to go drive an RC car and just have a good time? Like, what is the ideal situation or scenery?
So it all depends. In cars, you have a race vehicle or you have what they call basher type vehicles. So you mentioned a T-Max or E-Max. That's kind of like your basher thing, and you would just go out and run it and jump the ditch and go down the street or whatever. And then the race vehicles are strictly for that. So there's different types of cars for different things. They have rock crawling, where guys build them to look like real Jeeps and trucks, and people kind of get a kick out of that thing.
That leads me to the first point that I have here on my list, the types of RC cars. So you call it a basher. Mm-hmm. So you go to the typical hobby shop, not to undermine any hobby shop, but you go to the typical hobby shop in any city, you're going to find a basher. That's not a car that you guys would use for racing, correct? That's just basher means people buy it, they take it to their backyard, they take it, like you said, to the ditch or whatever, some freaking empty parking lot or some construction site, and they just run it, and they have fun with it, and they do whatever they do with it. That's not an RC car that is used for competition, right?
Correct.
And yep. So what is the difference between that car, the Traxxas, the whatever it is brand that's a basher, what's the difference between that and something that is competitive, that is used for competition?
So a durability standpoint, usually a basher vehicle is going to be more durable than a race vehicle. A race vehicle is going to be just like a real race car. It's going to be made for adjustability, for tuning on the track. For weight, the suspension will have, the plastics and stuff will be made of different plastics, so it'll be stiffer, so it doesn't flex as much, for more precision when you're racing, where a basher vehicle, you could grab a suspension arm on a Traxxas car and twist it all over the place, and it's made so when you run into your mailbox that it doesn't rip, you know, the whole front of the car off. It just hits the mailbox, does a 360, and you go back down the street again. And
but that comes at the expense of drivability and
handling.
So, correct. Like, just to kind of relate to helicopters, James, like, I know I went to one race with you and Bert. We went one, it was in North Florida, I think. And
that was like one of the biggest races in the whole country, by the way.
Yeah, it was
the Aurora Nationals Nitro 1/8 scale off road.
Right. So, of course, I was just there as a spectator. But what I saw you guys doing was changing camber, changing tires, changing suspension, I think. Like, how does, like, tires and camber and all that relate to, like, helis? Like, is changing tires kind of like changing blades for the day or changing collective pitch? Like, if you could relate it, how would you relate it?
I don't think they kind of relate to one another, to be honest with you, because it's an ever-changing thing where, you know, I can take my Goblin 700 out there and fly it pretty much, you know, the same way always, no matter the wind, no matter the temperature, no matter anything. The blades, you know, aren't going to really change. So a car, it's completely different. They're just so tunable, and you're looking and racing, you're looking for, you know, tenths or hundredths of a second each lap, and you have to change things to make it work. I don't really see that in helicopters. So
there's a lot of wrenching. There's a lot, based on what I've seen. I've been to a reasonable amount of races. I can't say it have been a lot of them, but maybe 10 races or whatever, maybe even a dozen races. And yeah, there's a lot of wrenching because the conditions change. You know, the track conditions change.
Yeah.
And that's the number one factor. And then, of course, there's wear and tear on the tires. I mean, tires don't last very long, James, do they? I mean, you got to go. When you're racing competitively, how many races do you get out of a set of tires? You know, how many runs, you know? Depends.
It all depends on what type of vehicle, you know, what type of car. But, I mean, it's not uncommon to mount up a set of tires and go up and burn them up in a, you know, a 5-minute qualifier or a 10-minute main event.
Yeah, and they run anywhere between $40 and $60, depending on the tires you get, right? More or less?
Yeah, pretty much, depending on the size car, what type of car it is, but yeah.
Okay, so so you have bashers. It's the typical stuff you buy at a local hobby shop. It's just a plastic freaking car. You might have some billet aluminum and some hopped up things that make it look pretty, but it's not going to handle competitively. It's not what people look after for a competition or a race. And then you have the race vehicles, and then within the race vehicles you have a lot of different classes of races, right? You have, I mean, it's crazy. You have on-road and off-road, right? And then within the on-road and the off-road segments, you have all these various different classes. Like, on-road is what, 10 scale, I think? Which is not very popular in the U.S., is it?
They have, it's kind of on the decline in the U.S., but they have 12 scale and 10 scale, and then they have different classes and different vehicle types in those. And then in off-road, you have.
But hold your thought, because on the on-road, they also have the little guys. Remember, we went to this race in Kissimmee, Florida? What that was like, there was people from all over the world. It was on carpet. What was that? That was like
that's called the Snowbirds. It's this big championship race that's about a week long inside a hotel.
Yeah. And it's what lobby. That's what, like 6 scale, 8 scale, 6 scale. What is that?
No, they had 12 scale and 10 scale. The small cars were 12 scale.
Sorry, I meant to, sorry, my bad. 12 scale is what I meant to say. So very, very small cars. Okay, then you have off-road, and in off-road you have 1/10, 10 scale, 8 scale. You have oval, right? Dirt ovals.
They have dirt oval, which are usually 10 scale as well. It's just a different type. And then they also have 5th scale, which that's not something that any of us have ventured into, but they're gigantic.
How does the 5th scale compare to something like a T-Max? Because I know probably a lot of people out there know what a T-Max or an E-Max is. So how does the 5th scale compare to that size?
I would say they're about 4 foot long.
Whoa.
Three and a half, 4 feet.
Fifth scale is more like a Baja.
Yeah.
HBI Baja, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Whereas the T-Max E-Max is more like, what is that? That's not even 8 scale. That's more like 10 scale,
right? It's 10 scale.
Yeah, 10 mm-hmm. scale.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But the A scale is the most popular class, isn't it, for off-road?
I would say probably so, yeah.
And so there's hundreds and hundreds of races of 8 scale off-road in the United States, would you say?
Yeah, pretty much any weekend there's races all over. And not just like club races, but I mean like either some type of national race or a regional race where you're going to find, you know, national level high-end drivers at every weekend.
So it's a lot of information for people that have no idea what the hell we're talking about here.
I am so lost right now.
But if somebody wanted to get into RC car competitive racing, is it something to be intimidated with? Because think about it, like when it comes to helicopters, it's different, right? Like, unfortunately, we see in helicopters the hobby's been declining. There's never been a lot of competition anyway, right? You and I have had conversations where, you know, you were disappointed because you wanted to be in a competition, but the only way to get there is to be invited or to travel, you know, to Europe or XFC, which was invitation only or whatever. RC cars is right. Totally different. Anybody can compete and can race at any of these races. So if somebody wants to get into RC cars and they want to race, what is the best way to do it? Like, what race would they go to? Just find some local, small race?
Sure, find, you know, obviously the first thing would be go to your local hobby shop and talk to them and see what type of racing is close by. Every city has something that's probably within an hour. And, you know, find out what's popular and then buy from there. Believe it or not, we were talking about Basher cars. Traxxas makes a car called the Slash that was kind of... It's now the T-Max of today. You know, T-Max used to be huge. You have one, and like I said, Kyle had one. But it's kind of a beginner class, and it's made... Most tracks have a class where they just go out and they run this truck, and it's bone stock straight out of the box. You change the tires if you want. You don't have to. But they have rules where you can't change anything, and it makes it very easy and affordable to get into right from the beginning. And that's how most people get started.
I feel like people underestimate RC cars. A lot of the helicopter guys think that cars are easy, and I can testify to the fact that cars are very difficult. It's one thing to go to a local hobby shop, like, you know, our local guy here, Graves RC, and buy a T-Max or some, you know, Basher and just run in your parking lot. I mean, obviously, it's going to come natural to you because you can fly three-dimensionally on a helicopter, so you're going to be able to steer it and turn around and do all this. But when you get a competitive like a high-end vehicle, like a high-end RC car, like an A-scale, and you go to an off-road track, and you try to run the track with people that know what they're doing, I have to testify, it's very, very difficult to do and to do it well. It's like I got my ass beat time and time and time again, and it's embarrassing, but it is the nature of the beast. Reflexes don't work. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Oh, I have good reflexes. I have good eyesight. Well, sorry, I'm going to drop the bum word, but fuck that does not work. It takes a lot of practice and a lot of dedication, and it's a completely different discipline, completely different. So within that, when you think about competitive RC car racing, you have all these different classes, right? So you have what? Sportsman, which is for entry-level people. You have pro. You have open, right?
And open,
then,
yep.
And then you have over 40, which I learned my lesson when I said, oh, I'm older guy. I can do over 40. You're like, no way, dude. Those guys will kill you because they're pretty freaking good, aren't they? It's like a lame.
Yeah, the over 40 guys are all the guys that raced when they were kids and in the 80s when RC cars were new and, you know, popular, and it's like that's a class that they can run in now with people their own age or that they used to run back in the day.
It's an excuse to not go up against the newer kids. That's all there is.
It is, but the dudes are fast, you know?
No shit, that's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But there's races, and people don't understand. There's races that have up to 1,000 entries or more, right?
Yep.
Tell us about some of the bigger races.
Yeah, you have you've got the one we went to, Psycho Nitro Blast. We went to that last year. That's pretty big. I can't remember how many there were that one we went, but it was kind of like a record-breaking year. The Dirt Nitro Challenge, which is in, I believe it's Arizona. They have like four tracks running at the same time, three or four tracks, and it's like the IRCHA of RC cars, you know. There's just anything and everything you want there for RC cars.
Well, even something like Wicked Weekend, how many entries there?
I think they get like 500 or 600 people at Wicked Weekend.
Yeah. Crap. That's 1,000 entries, right? 1,200 entries.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when we talk about entries, what it means is some people think, oh, there's 1,000, 1,200 drivers. Not necessarily. What it means is there's like all these classes. You have Nitro, right? You have Electric. Mm-hmm. And then you have Truggy, which is a truck, small truck. So then you have Sportsman, which is beginners. And then you have Pros. And then you have Open, which is for everybody. And then you have over 40. And then you have all those across the board for Nitro, for Electric, for trucks, for open course, which is a smaller type truck. So by the time you factor in, like, I might sign up for three classes, so that's three entries, even mm-hmm. though it's only one driver. But at the end of the day, 1,200 entries could possibly be 400 or 500 drivers, right? Easy.
Yep.
Yep. And then you have Southern Nationals, which is in Louisiana, and that's another 1,000-plus entries, right?
Yeah, I don't know. That actually just happened last weekend. I don't remember how many entries they had, but, yeah, it's a big race. That whole series, there's Psycho Nitro, Southern Nationals, Wicked Weekend, AMS, Alabama Manufacturers Shootout. And these are all just in the Southeast that have these gigantic races. I mean, you're talking about all over the U.S. They have big events.
So some of the cities, James, where they hold these races, it's interesting for the audience if they show any interest in going. I know Wicked Weekend is in Gainesville, Georgia, which is about an hour and a half northeast of Atlanta. Where else? Like, big races, if some of the listeners are in these areas and they want to go check them out.
Let's see.
Psycho Nitro Blast is somewhere in Tennessee, right?
Correct. And I don't remember where in Tennessee. It's through the mountains. I know that.
That says a lot. That helps a lot.
Do what?
That helps a lot.
Yeah. The Southern Nats that they just had, that's in Monroe, Louisiana. And like I said, you know, they have them all over. A lot of big cities, like, all have a race.
And the Southern Nats is indoors, too. And they have, is it air conditioned? No.
I don't know if it's AC. I've never been to that race. But, yeah, it's a full, I mean, it's in an arena, indoors, fully closed. Yeah. Just like Wicked or Psycho Nitro Blast.
Yeah. So we've been talking about races and all that, but how does that actually work? Are there like transponders on the car, and then there's like qualifier, and then main? Like, how does it all work?
It's a main. Yeah, yeah. Explain it.
Talk us through it, James.
Talk us through a race. Talk us through a whole race.
It's so much to say. So I'm not gonna do it. But kind of a brief deal is, there's transponders in the car. Every car.
Okay, hold on. Let me stop you right there. If I am just John Wayne and I'm an idiot, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I want to go race. Can I go race?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how do I do it? How do I do it? Do I just sign up? Where do you go to sign up?
You go to most places. They have sign-ups wherever the announcer is, which is usually somewhere near the driver's stand. Mm-hmm. So you go to the track. You find out about the race, you go to the track, and then you go talk to the race director or the announcer, and you tell them what kind of vehicle you have. They'll put you in the right class.
So Sportsman, you're a newbie. You go to Sportsman.
Yep. if you're a kid, if you're young, they usually have a kids class at all these races. No matter what vehicle you run, you can be in a kids class. So they throw you in a kids class if you're a kid, and you go from there.
And then what happens?
You usually at these, and we're talking big races here. I mean, we're not talking just like club races or whatever. I guess you could use it as a club race as well, but, they'll usually have a practice session either the day before, or if it's a 1 day event, they'll have practice before the race begins. So you get out there and you do some laps and learn the track. And, after that, they start with qualifying. Every race is different. Most common thing is you have qualifiers. You have three qualifiers. And
how long are the qualifiers for electric or nitro?
It usually is 5 minutes.
And what does that do? What's the point of a qualifier?
So you are basically trying to see how many laps you can put in a 5 minute time, or whatever the race time is, qualifying time. You're just trying to see how many laps you can do as fast as possible is what it comes down to.
And then so qualifying determines where you end up for the mains. And for the people that don't know what the mains are the actual races, the final races, right?
That's right. The actual race. When you qualify, you're actually not racing. You may have 10 people on the track, but you're really not battling anybody. So
you're not battling.
You're
battling yourself. You're trying to get the best time you can get.
Correct. So if you pass somebody, that does not mean you've done well and you're moving up one position. It means
you did well at that particular second. That person could have done really well, made a mistake, done way better than you, made a mistake, you passed them at that time, but that person still did better than you overall on that qualifying round.
Correct.
So, and then the mains, the people understand what mains, that's where the name A Main comes from, duh. Congratulations to them with their very creative shop name, but the mains are the actual races. And so the way it happens is if you suck and you're terrible, and so if James and I are going at each other, and James still sucks, but he's way better than me, and James gets, I don't know, 15 laps in 5 minutes, and I get 4 laps in 5 minutes, then James is going to move to a higher main, meaning a lower level, a lower letter main. So James might end up in a B main, C main, even an A main, where I would end up in a D main or E main or something, right?
Correct.
And that's the beauty of it, because you compete, you're racing against people that are at relatively the same level you are, right?
Yeah, most of the time, you're with people of your skill level. Unless you had three really bad qualifiers and it just puts you way down, which is rare, most of the time you're racing with people in the main event that are close to you. So you actually get some battling and passing, and you're actually racing for position. You're not just running away or falling behind.
And if I remember correctly, if you win your main, then you move to the next letter ahead. So if you're in the C and you win it, you move to the B. Is that correct?
Most of the time. It's all up to how the race is done. But that's kind of the normal thing, is if you win or finish second, you move into what would be the 11th and 12th place in the next main, or the 16th and 17th. How many ever people they already have a set aside per heat. They fill the next heat with the first and second place person from the last round. It's almost like you get another chance,
right,
to move up.
Interesting. Crazy. Interesting.
Crazy. Huh.
So for the people that are interested in this stuff, how would they get started? What's the first thing to do?
Get a basher? I mean, the biggest thing is check your local hobby shop or a reputable, you know, place online.
Well, if you live in Orlando, folks, I can tell you right now, you're shit out of luck.
That's not true. Graves has a great car section.
Yep. I love Graves. I'm personal friends with Mark Graves. I was good friends with Bill Graves, rest in peace, the founder of Graves. They have nothing competitive. It's all bashers.
Well, so, the problem is Orlando has no track, so they just, you know, It's one of those weird big cities that doesn't, for some reason, have a track. They do an hour around the place, but actually in Orlando, there's no track.
That's sad. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy. It's weird. It's actually really strange. I don't know if it's because real estate's expensive. You know, property is, it's hard to put a track somewhere and pay for it. Or,
but what
or
would you do to get started? Would you go to a race somewhere locally? I mean, just look up. There's some important websites. RCSignup.com, right?
Yep.
You can register for a race on RCSignup.com. And you can search races by state and where they're being held and get directions and everything else. Another website that's interesting is RCLive.com, RCLIVE.com, where you can actually look at races that are happening right now, and you can see results in real time too, right?
It's the other way around, Bert. LiveRC.com.
LiveRC. LiveRC.com. My bad.
There you go.
Yeah. .com.
But yeah, LiveRC. A lot of tracks is becoming real popular. If the track has internet access there, they put cameras up, and you can actually go to LiveRC and look at a track that's broadcasting a race, and you can watch the race on your computer, which if you're not, I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. If you're not into racing, watching a race on the computer is like watching paint dry. But if you don't, I mean, I love racing, but if you don't know, or if you're not into it, it's, you know, it's kind of boring to watch.
But it's interesting because they also have real time transponder data.
They do have actual scoring, which is the thing to watch if you're going to watch on there. But yeah.
So if you go to a race and you're racing, you're at some race in Savannah or somewhere like that, and you're racing, and I happen to go to their website right as you're racing, I can see your race live and see how you're getting your ass beat by the other guys in real time.
It's funny you say that, because I actually, you mentioned that I'm the BK Servo team manager for the surface stuff, so we obviously have team drivers. And I can't be, we have guys all over the United States, and I can't be at every race, every weekend that these guys go to. So, you know, I'll tune into Live RC and say, hey, you know, Chad Eubanks, he's running at OCRC, which is Orange County RC Raceway and Orange County, or, you know, and what is that, Los Angeles or whatever, or California, basically. Yeah. He's racing there. And I want to see how he's doing. I can tune in and I can actually watch his race and see his lap times or whatever. And I can do that with multiple guys across the United States if I want to. It's pretty cool if you're actually into racing to keep up with, you know, your favorite driver. Because it's just like NASCAR for a lot of these diehard RC car guys. They have their favorite pro driver. Right. That's what they do for a living. And they follow them. They watch these races they can't go to and follow and see how they're doing. No different than it was Jeff Gordon at a NASCAR race or something, you know?
Right. And as a spectator, because I went to my first and only car race. I mean, I went to some indoor stuff when I was younger. But the first outdoor race was the Nationals with you and Bert, James. And being there in person.
We were supposed to go to a race a couple weeks ago, and he bailed on us.
But anyway, the Nationals. Go ahead, Kyle. The Nationals was the first one, and hearing those engines roar and watching those cars rip around the track, it was awesome. Like
he was excited.
It was cool.
I can't believe Kyle was as excited as he was.
Dude, it was freaking sweet. Those things were moving, and they were crashing, and people were destroying their stuff. It was cool. So if there's a race near you guys, and if you're even the slightest bit interested in cars, definitely check it out. Because, I mean, Bert and I were just there watching, having fun, supporting the team guys, and it was fun because people were just destroying their stuff. The cars are flying through the air. People are, you know, moving fast. I watched one on Live RC for about 3.5 minutes, and I turned it off because it was like, all right, this is.
Well, yeah, I mean, you watch, boring, like James said, you watch it online, and it's stupid. If you're uninto it, it's like anything else. Like, I mean, imagine an RC car guy watching Heli Masters or Global 3D live.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Like, what the fuck is that? Like, really? But, I mean, it is what it is, you know? I mean, you favor what you like in the hobby, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But so team. You're the team manager for BK Servo. How does the team compare to helicopter teams? How are the guys? Is there as much drama?
As much drama.
Is it the same amount of drama? Is it the same babysitting? Is it the same nightmare? Is it? Is it the same deal?
It depends. I mean, I'm not trying to like sound great, but I think that we BK
it's okay,
servos
James.
Are very.
It's okay. You can say it. Your drivers are not listening to this podcast. It's all good. They have no idea this is happening right now.
We are very lucky to have the team we have that have very few issues and very little drama. There is a lot of drama in RC. I mean, that same website you said, liverc.com, they post, you know, maybe something crazy that's going on in RC or somebody swapping teams and this and that. And, you know, it's like anything else. But, you know, I don't really think there's a ton of drama. Mm. So,
do they get similar deals than the helicopter guys? Do they have to work their ass for it? Do they have to do something in return?
Social media?
It's different. I feel like RC car guys are, and you know, I'm gonna sound biased here, but I feel like they're a lot more active in social media than helicopter guys. Simply because most diehard car guys race almost every weekend, and they do these online race reports, and they always mention their sponsors and stuff, no matter how good or bad they did. So you're as a sponsor, you're always kind of getting mentioned, which I think is cool. But I don't know.
It's different. It's different. For example, I follow one of our team drivers, Jared Wiggins, on Facebook. And it seems like he does at least once a week because he's always either at a local track.
But they do these
lengthy
reports.
Yeah, and it's like,
you know, our guys don't do that. Helicopter people don't do that. It's like, you know, I went to the Heli Extravaganza, and when I arrived, my car broke down on the way there. But then finally, after getting stuck in some mud, you know, we were able to get a ride, and we loaded all our helicopters into this guy's van, and we finally made the trip. And when we got there, we met with the people from Horizon Hobbies, and, you know, Kyle Stacey happened to be there, like, you know, and it was great. And then it rained for a couple hours, but then the sun came out, and then we busted some badass flights. And, you know, like, it's different. They write these elaborate reports, which is cool. I'm not bitching about it, but it's almost different. Funny because it's just different, you know?
It's very different.
It's a totally different...
it's like a job description.
Yeah, it's different. It's just different.
Yeah.
Different lifestyle, different way to handle the hobby, you know?
It's a different way of promoting. And as far as the sponsor guys, too, you know, they are... In helicopters, I don't feel like, you know... I'll use Kyle as an example, and this isn't a bad thing, but Kyle, you may wear your SAB shirt one day, and then, you know, the next day you may wear a BK Servo shirt and this and that. These car guys, and I'm one of them, I don't have a shirt like this, but they are proud of their sponsors, and
they make their
proud
own shirts.
They pay for their own shirts. They'll contact these companies that make shirts, and they will line up all their sponsors or anybody that helps them out in any form or way. Will put their name on their shirt,
the
and you'll see them.
Guys.
They'll have a chassis sponsor, a servo sponsor, a speed controller sponsor, a battery sponsor, a nitro motor sponsor. What? They'll line them up, and it's their way of, you know,
no way.
Kind of promoting.
No way.
Yeah. Could you imagine wearing a Mikado shirt, an SAB shirt, and an Exnova shirt, and Pulse battery or whatever, you know.
It would start at my neckline and go down to my freaking shorts. I mean, it would never end.
Yeah, but, you know, these guys, they're proud of that. You know, they're proud to...
That's cool.
It's
and they have a lot. They have more sponsors than we do, too, because they have sponsors for upgrades and for the chassis and for servos tires. And tires and motors and ESCs batteries. And yeah. I mean, it's not unusual for someone to have 8 to 10 sponsors, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Crazy. So, James, what are the tracks that are well known where people can go if they live nearby? Tracks, clubs. Do you know?
Well, it all depends on where you are.
Mainly southeast, because we're in the southeast and
you know, southeast.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, I'm gonna throw a shout out to my track, Phil Hurd Raceway. We're the oldest running RC car track in the United States.
Phil Hurd, right?
Phil Hurd Raceway in Savannah, Georgia. Yep. Very popular if you race indoors. Another place is Beach RC in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Our friend Brent Densford.
That's right. Brent Densford.
Nice dude.
Fireball.
That's right. That's his nickname, Fireball. He loves the Fireball.
Terrible.
Yeah, BK Servo team driver. And,
not the helicopter Fireball, but the actual Fireball.
Yeah, the liquor Fireball.
Learned
my lesson.
Yeah.
And he owns a beautiful track / hobby shop in Myrtle Beach, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
10th scale, though. That's not 8th scale.
Correct. 10th scale indoors. So completely not unique, but it's its own side of racing that's really popular. Completely different than outdoor racing.
Lake City, Florida?
Lake City, Florida. They just held the 2018 Roar Fuel Nationals, and they hold a lot of big races there. That's in kind of the, what is it? What would you call that? Like Central North Florida?
No, that's like north. That's 30 north? Minutes from Georgia. Yeah, yeah. That's not Florida. Lake City. A little bit east of our capital city of Tallahassee. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's tracks all over. I mean, and down in Florida, you have, Cocoa. You have Beachline Raceway, AstroTurf track now.
Yeah.
So they have artificial grass on their track.
Yeah. It's also small cars. It's 10th scale. So smaller 10 cars. 10th
scale.
Yeah.
Yep. They're all over, you know. You just got to.
A-Main has their own beautiful track out west and. Mm-hmm. California?
They do. California is the kind of the home of RC cars. So it's like, I've never been, but you know, they say that there's tracks all over San Diego, Orange County, and Northern California, just all pretty much anywhere in California, you can find an amazing RC facility.
You should go. It's like Mecca for you.
RC.
I want to go so bad.
RC. RC.
Well, what else are you going to go? I mean, remote control? Is that...
RC. RC is very broad.
RCers.
Oh. RC is broad. RC encompasses soaring and jets and iMac and 3D and 3D helis and F3C, F3A. The only thing it doesn't encompass is freaking control line. But everything else is RC, you know? But
they call RC is just RC cars. That's it. Yeah. That's all there is
to exactly, it. Yeah. According to RCLive.com. LiveRC? LiveRC.com.
Yeah. LiveRC does Live do RC. Your favorite aspect of the hobby, FPV. They do cover that as well. So
yeah, it's beautiful. I love it. It's so great.
Yeah.
No need. Waste of time.
LiveRC.com and RCSignUp.com. It's all RC. It's all RC. Check it out. It's interesting. It's really cool. It's as long as you don't take it as too hard as James Van Hook, I think anybody and everybody can have a lot of fun with it.
I do not take it nearly as serious as I should. So I don't even want to hear that.
Okay.
I don't want to hear that.
Whatever.
Anyway. So. Well, that was cool. That was cool. So what's your next RC car race?
I'm actually, as we're doing this podcast, I am working on my car / packing to go to Atlanta this weekend to one of our team drivers.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. He's awesome.
I knew
I love
like
that
this.
Guy.
Sean.
Sean Harding.
Sean Harding, that's right. Sean Harding has a track in his backyard that is kind of unique. It's like this, it used to be dirt, and he decided one day that he was going to concrete it, so he didn't have to worry about the dirt anymore. So he just put concrete right over top of his dirt track with jumps and everything.
I'm sure you guys are going to have fun. You're going to have some cocktails. You're going to smoke a little bit.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm sure we'll drink some beer. But the cool thing is, well, not the cool, but an interesting aspect is, this race is the largest cash payout race for one class in the United States. So most RC car racing does not have a cash prize, but Sean is doing $1,000 to the winner of one class. Yep.
Wow.
So yeah, we're going to go up there and try to have some fun and see if maybe we can bring home some cash.
And that's tomorrow?
Yeah, I leave tomorrow and head up there.
Hold on. Now I'm confused. So if you're like, I don't know the top names, but say you're the top driver and you win all the races.
Adam Drake.
So you're Adam Drake. You win all the races, or that that James Van Hook guy. You win everything
Mayfield.
Ryan Mayfield.
Yeah.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. All those guys. Say you go to all the races, you win everything. Do you get anything out of that? Like, there's no cash prize, or is it just the benefits from the sponsors? Because I know these guys get paid to drive, but do you get any cash prize or no?
You get you a nice piece of plastic with some vinyl on it that says number one on it, or maybe a fake gold trophy.
That's it. But in the defense of RC, the RC surface segment of the hobby, the guys that are at the top, Stacy, I hate to tell you, they make a lot of dough.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
It's almost embarrassing for helicopter. There are more guys than the helicopter side that get paid to do it, but that is their, you know, there are guys that's what they do. Their daily job is to go to the track every day and practice. What? And
they make upwards of what, 50K a year, 70, 80K a year?
I think they do pretty well. I think I can't.
It's not like helicopters
for a fact.
Yeah,
they collectively through their sponsors they do well, right? No one sponsor you're going to live off of, but if you get a little bit off this battery, and you get a little bit off the speed controller, and you get a little bit off this chassis manufacturer, and
yeah, they can make
they
a
pay
nice
for your
living.
Traveling.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So there are guys that.
Sorry,
do
Kyle,
it for
you're
a
in
living.
The wrong hobby. You're in the wrong hobby, Kyle.
Took up the wrong RC. Yeah.
You picked the wrong RC part of the hobby.
RC. I'm the wrong
RC. You're not an
RC-er.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah. Maybe in the next lifetime I'll be an RC-er.
You know, we went to the field, James, the other day, and he brought this plane from New York when he went to New York for his thing. He was flying the shit out of it.
No.
And I looked at him. I'm like, you're so dumb. You're the stupidest guy I've ever met. Why did you not ever pursue this as like a serious deal within RC, because he's an incredible fucking airplane pilot.
No.
Incredible.
No.
You have no idea.
Come on, Kyle.
I have video.
Kyle, just go ahead and put the helicopters down.
I'm ready.
And start flying, and you and AJ can get together and
He was doing Harriers with the wingtips like 2-3 inches off the ground. He was knife edge with the wingtips 4-6 inches off the ground, holding ass.
What plane did you have there, Kyle?
It was a Andrew Jeske AJ Aircraft 73-inch laser.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I tried to fly it, and I couldn't even freaking fly straight and level because it was unflyable. No. And he was flying the dog piss out of it. Unbelievable.
It's fun.
We're going to have to do a video one of these days. We go to the airplane field.
James, you got to come down and fly airplanes with us some weekend.
I'd love to. I need to get another good size 3D plane going.
I got three of them here.
Tony, get a jet. Get a Tortuga.
No, that's stupid.
The Tortuga is stupid? No way.
I cannot comment on the Tortuga, but I have no interest. I have no interest in going fast and turn around and coming back and going fast again.
So what do you do with your RC car? You go fast and you turn. So
yeah. I turn left. I turn right. I go up. I go down. I end up upside down a lot.
You change your tires. You change your suspension. I mean, unbelievable.
My dad is a jet guy. I have my jet, you know, my turbine waiver, and I did turbines a couple times and flew jets, and I was like, yeah, that's cool. I have a turbine waiver, and that's it. I've never flown one again.
The newer jets with the thrust vectoring and stuff, they're a lot of fun. They're fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Enough said. Okay. Well, thank you, everybody.
Some people like RC boats. Some people, you know, everybody has something different, you know?
Yeah, there's RC sailing, too. You can buy a sailboat. Mm-hmm. Man, those guys are as technical as they come. Let me tell you, I've seen those guys. Those guys are ridiculous. I'm not being an asshole. I'm being serious.
It has to be hard. It has to be like
it's very technical. It's very technical.
I believe it or not, you know, I've got multiple 700 size, helicopters. I have all these cars that go fast. I love flying RC gliders. It's one of the most challenging things there is. Simply, you can't see the lift, and trying to keep something up forever. Could you imagine doing that with a boat? You have no idea what's going on. You just have to kind of feel it and go. I think that's cool, man. Maybe I'll get a sailboat now.
Yeah. No. Anyway, get a 3D airplane. Come down to Orlando. Hang out with us. You have a good time. I have like three of them here. You just pick one and go fly it. Simple as that.
Anyway. The Free Fall RC podcast guys are going to get pissed because we're exceeding our time. So let's wrap it up, James. We love you guys. You guys are doing a great job. I just happened to hear a comment recently about, oh, we got to hurry up. Yes, we do. Yeah. We got to wrap it up.
Whatever.
So we need to bring those guys on the podcast. So, James, if people have questions, they want to know about RC cars, or what James does, or whatever the hell it is, or whatever. Where would they get a hold of you? Facebook?
You can reach me at Facebook at just James Van Hook. I'm the only one. You can email me at james@bkservo.com.
Nice.
Pretty Instagram. Nice.
You have Instagram,
any
too?
Any social media.
Nice.
I have Instagram. I'm a viewer. I'm not a user. You know what I mean? I don't post stuff.
Just like me.
Yeah. Kyle refuses to share his Instagram information.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So, Kyle, where can people get a hold of you?
Facebook.com/KyleStacyRC.
What about Instagram?
Nope.
Okay.
You?
What about?
Huh? No, you. Your turn.
Yeah, me. Instagram, whatever, Instagram.com/Bert_Kammer, Facebook.RC.com/BertRC,
Facebook.RC.com/BertRC,
Facebook.com/BertRC. It's too much RC in our lives.
RCers.
And, I think we're available at the BK Official on Facebook and Instagram, both.
Yeah.
So thank you, everybody, for listening. Mm-hmm. Thank you, James.
It was awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Nice. Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
See ya.